Get ready, church, get ready. I have only begun to move in this place, in this city, in this region. Get ready. What you have seen is only a taste, only a morsel of what I'm about to do. I have sent forth my angels to surround and encamp this place. I'm sending more angels to expand this territory and this place. Get ready, be prepared. As the river of Illinois flows through this region, so will the river of my spirit flow. Get in the river, church. Get in my church. Get in my church. The river will bring unity to my people. The river will bring new life to this region. The river will bring a flood of my divine holiness. The river will bring a power to the believer. The river will bring signs and wonders and healing. The river will send the enemy running. The river will bring forth an anointing on my leaders of my church in a way never before seen on this earth. The river will bring life. This will happen soon and suddenly. Heed my call. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. If those of you guys don't remember that, that was a prophecy the Lord gave me about September or October. And as we were praying, wow, the prayer services this week. I was only able to attend about three of them, but man. We're going to change the name to the 2 hour of power instead of the hour of power. Because the Holy Spirit isn't done in an hour. Sometimes it's over 2 hours, but it is good every time. Every time. And I just want to share a couple of things that the Lord showed me through this service and a couple of things He's shown some others. One kind of was a childhood dream that I had. And I don't even really know if I ever shared this with Mom. Maybe I did. I was probably 12 or 13 years old. And the Lord brought this dream back to my memory. It's actually two dreams, but this one in particular. See, young men dreams too, so it's not just old men. I'm safe. But I remember Mom was had just learned about faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. And she came home, and I just recall her being very excited about this. And she told us about it. And of course, we were young, and we really didn't truly understand what that meant. But I remember going to sleep that night, and I saw myself in a big luxury hotel and looking out upon this mountain. And I said, "Mountain, you move over there." The next morning, I woke up, not in the dream, I woke up in the dream. And that mountain had moved over to the other side. So the next night, I'm awake in real life, not in the dream now. So stay with me here. The next night, I go to sleep, and I have the exact same dream again, where there's a mountain over there, and that mountain, I said, "Mountain, you move over there." The next morning, I woke up, and that mountain was removed. And as we were praying this week, one of the things that the Lord really showed me is that mountains are being removed. Mountains in people's lives are being removed. Mountains are being moved. This river that's going to come through is going to remove mountains. It's going to remove mountains. Do you have a mountain in your life? God wants to remove that mountain. No matter what it is, God wants to remove that mountain. The second thing that I saw as we were praying this week was we were talking about this river, and I saw a vision of the river flowing out the back of the church. And this wasn't a calm river. This was an extremely violent river. It's like, who's been to the Niagara Falls before? Any of you been to Niagara Falls? Anybody see the runoff of Niagara Falls now? That's what I saw in this vision, was this violent river. The violent take it by force. This was a violent river. And you know what? Sometimes we might be afraid. We see this violent river running. I'm a little bit afraid to get in. Maybe I'll just dip my little toe in there. Nope. God wants us to jump in a river. He wants us to jump in the river. But not only did it go out, and I saw this violent river like going out the back of the church, but I saw it coming back in as a peaceful, quiet river. The violent take it by force. And I don't know who it was, but somebody had Isaiah 41:18. And Isaiah 41:18 says, I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of valleys. You know, we're in a valley, right? I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Man, God has been speaking in this prayer times. I don't know about those of you who have been here. I know several of you have been. Wow. Powerful, powerful times that God is moving in this place. And he's not finished yet. It's only the beginning. I think the Lord said in the beginning, I've only begun to move in this place, in this city, in this region. Get ready. If you've only seen a taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We've only seen a taste, my friends. We've only seen a taste of what God's going to do. Wow. In this region, I really believe God is speaking to this region. There's been several prophecies from several places that talk about the Central Illinois, the Peoria area region as a region, and God moving in this region. Are you going to get in the river? Are you going to get out of your comfort zone just a little bit? One of the other things that we prayed one evening, I don't remember what it was, but God showed me freedom in worship. So many times it's so easy to sit in our chair and praise God. We have one wonderful lady. I don't think she's, Terry's not here today, is she? Is she back there? Oh yeah, she was here, duh. What am I thinking? Terry's here. She dances before the Lord. She dances before the Lord. How awesome would it be if everybody in this place just broke out and dancing and shouting and singing and praising God. You know what? It isn't going to be like this in heaven. It's going to be shouting and praising and dancing. That's what it's going to be like in heaven. Well, there's no reason we can't start now. There's no reason. I saw Terry leading a freedom movement in worship in this place. People are going to start getting free. If you're one of these people that are like I used to be, and I am sometimes, I'm a little bit timid, and I'm not one that gets up and dances. God's going to get a hold of you, and I pray right now he does. And he gets a hold of you and you start dancing in this place. Dad might even get up and start dancing in this place. Hallelujah. Dance, freedom and worship, freedom and worship. We were made to worship him. We were made to worship him. Oh, freedom, freedom. Lord, I pray freedom in this place right now in the name of Jesus. That there be freedom in worship as we worship you in spirit and in truth. That we can worship you freely. We can dance before your throne and worship you. We can lift up holy hands and worship your name. We can shout the name of Jesus. The name above every other name is the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know what I'm going to preach today because I don't even have any notes, if that's okay. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we talked, I didn't even finish that series. I believe we talked on the, what did we talk about first? My mind's totally blank. The power gifts, right? Talked about the power gifts. And the last one we were on was miracles. So we had healing and miracles. But miracles. How many have ever seen a true life miracle? I'm just curious. A couple of you have? Three, four of you?
I've seen a whole bunch of them.
All right.
Well, actually, because this is the greatest miracle of all, people being born again.
That's exactly right. That is the greatest miracle of all. It is a miracle. Miracles happen in this place. when he moves. How many want to see more miracles happen? Man, I was thinking the other day, raising people from the dead. Man, what a way to grow a church. You laugh. Wow. We'll just raise the dead up. God's given us the authority to do that. And through the power of His Holy Spirit, we can lay hands on the dead and they'll be raised up. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Greg said that several times the other night in prayer. Man, that just resonated with me. How much that same power to see miracles happen. Miracles happen when you move. That last song, so good. Miracles happen. I remember when we used to go to, I believe, was it New Life Fellowship over there, Randy Hall's church? Some of you remember Randy Hall. And we attended his church over there. And one of the things that we felt really called to was youth ministry at the time. And some of you might remember Mark and Deb Utek. They were very good friends of ours. Still are, although we don't get together as much as we used to. They pastor a church in here, and I think their church is called New Life Fellowship, if I'm not mistaken, which is kind of interesting. But I remember when we got started with that youth ministry, much like I think of the youth here, we may only have 2, 3, 4, 5 kids that come. We had the very first night, Mark and Deb took the senior high kids, and Janice and I took the junior high kids. And I remember saying, Lord, I will never teach junior high kids, ever. Don't ever say never. Never say, don't never say, you know what I mean. Never say never, because God will get you. And we said, we're going to teach the junior high kids, and or never going to teach junior high kids. And God says, I got something else in mind for you. You're going to teach the junior high kids. And I was still a young man at that time in my 20s, and still didn't know all the things of God and all of the things of the Holy Spirit and all the things that He did. And the very first service we had promoted it, and we knew we were going to have 20 kids there. Easy, going to have 20 kids there. And 2 kids showed up. And God says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I've got something in store for this group. So the next night, oh, and by the way, too, we played a lot of funny games that kids like to play, and I got a call from one of the parents that says, you got to be careful what you do with the kids because my son got sick. And I said, oh, I'm terribly sorry what happened. Well, we played this game, which was drink as much Kool-Aid as you can as fast as you can. So yes, one of the kids got sick. Oh, funny. But anyway, kids like to have fun, right? And I like to have fun with kids. So the next time, the next service, we were praying and said, Lord, just bring them in. And one of the little girls that was there with us, she brought a friend. So we had 3 the next time we had service. God says, don't worry about small beginnings. We only have, we average what, Dennis, 40 people a week probably? Yeah. Don't worry about small beginnings. It doesn't matter. So we kept having church for the junior high kids, and God began to do something in those kids that you wouldn't think, oh, these are just a bunch of kids. What do they know? Wow. Are we wrong? God's going to do something in the youth of this church. He's going to do something. Addison, I already had a word for you. God's going to use you. God's going to use you. So we get, I don't know, maybe 30 kids probably at some point. We had 30 junior high age kids, if you can imagine trying to corral 30 junior high age kids. It could be a challenge once in a while, let me say that. But they were, man, they were hungry for the things of God. Man, were they hungry for the things of God. It just, we were humbled by how hungry these kids were for what God was doing. And I remember, there wasn't a lot of rooms over at New Life Church, and the youth took the big room, and so we got pastor's office. So I don't know if any of you have been back in this pastor's office, cut it in half, and that was the pastor's office at New Life Church. So we had 20 kids in this little bitty room. and this office. And man, we would have a good time praising and worshiping the Lord. And these kids were up raising their hands. And they had freedom when they worshiped. They had freedom. Some of the kids. Man, can we learn from kids? Some of these junior high kids were dancing. Wow. Why can't we adults be like little children sometimes? Be like kids and dance. And worship in freedom, and have freedom when we worship the Lord. But I think we get caught up in ourselves. What's Greg going to think about me if I start dancing? Man, I'm worried about what Brother Greg's going to think. Oh, what's Kim going to think about me if I start dancing? Man, it's not about us. It's not about what Greg thinks or Kim thinks. It's about what he thinks. God desires us to worship him with everything we have, to praise him with everything we have, to seek him with everything we have. Man, this has just been a couple hours every night this week, but man, has God spoken to us. Seek me, and he's there. I remember one time with his kids, and we just had, if I remember right, it was like a lock-in for junior high kids. I know, dangerous lock-in for junior high kids. And we had plenty of chaperones. Okay, I got to tell a little funny story with this lock-in. So we convinced the boys to go snipe hunting. Does everybody know what snipe hunting is? A few of you do. So we get all the boys, and there was probably, I don't know, I bet we had 40 kids at this lock-in. And we go outside with paper bags and flashlights, and we get the boys making the sounds of whatever, I don't even remember what it was now, like woo, 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 like they're supposed to do to hunt snipes. They were out there for 2 hours trying to find a snipe. It was the funniest thing I ever saw. We had a good time. And then they came back and we said, you know, there's no such thing as snipes, right? They were so disappointed. They were so disappointed. One of them got really mad at me. You lied to me! But we had fun nonetheless. Then it was about 10 or 11 o'clock, and one of the kids said, you know what? There was a young man that hardly ever came to the kids' program. His grandparents came, and I think his name was Chris, if I remember right. I don't even remember exactly what his name was. But he was a young kid. He went to a Methodist church. Never been involved around charismatics at all, ever in his life. Didn't know what to think, but he had asthma really bad, and he was having some problems, especially after the snipe hunting, was out running around. But he was having some problems breathing, and one of the kids said, it wasn't the adults that said, let's pray for Chris. It was one of the kids said, let's pray for Chris. So we all gathered around him. The entire 40 kids gathered around this young man, and we laid hands on him, and he was immediately slain in the spirit. He'd never been around this before. He didn't know what it was about. I'd barely been around it. I didn't know what it was about. And God moved so powerfully in that time with this young man. And he jumped up maybe, I don't know, it was a minute later or 2 minutes later, says, oh, I must have passed out. Because he didn't know anything about being slain in the spirit and what it was about. He said, I can breathe. I haven't breathed this good ever in my entire life. Because the kids, not the adults, the kids laid hands on him. And I don't know that I saw him much after that, because he didn't come very much, because, like I said, he came with his grandparents. But every time I saw him, I asked him, how's your asthma? And he says, I don't have asthma anymore. Miracles happen when he moves. When we seek him, when we seek after him, miracles happen. We want the gift of miracles, the gifts that the Holy Spirit happens. We got to get, we got to get before his face. We got to seek the Lord with everything in our being. We got to jump in that river that we might be afraid to jump into with both feet, over our head and take back what the enemy's trying to steal from us. The enemy wants to steal, rob. And I'll tell you, sometimes the closer we get to what God wants to do, the enemy works double time because he knows God's about to do something. But guess what? What does Greg always say? The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Why do we believe what he says? Oh, man. Lonnie and I were talking the other night about his healing and that back problem wanting to come back. And after we had that conversation, the devil's a liar. He wants that to come back. He's going to tell you, you didn't get your healing. Are you crazy? That healing didn't happen. Oh, it's just all in your head.
That's when you jump up and shout and praise the Lord, because the opposite of that is the truth.
That's right.
You can't tell the truth. So he's speaking that forward so you know the opposite of the truth. So he's confirming the fact that he is healed. You are full. Yes.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
He's a liar.
Maybe you ought to come preach. Oh, wow, that's good. The devil is a liar. Why do we believe him all the time for? We need to just praise God.
If he does open his mouth, then rejoice at the opposite of what he's saying. God is speaking to you. That's simple. He won't mess with you if you turn around. He won't mess with you and speak on you. Because if you turn around and say, well, your knee's hurting and stuff like that, oh, praise God, my knee is whole. Hey, thank you.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Because that's the truth. Because the opposite of what he says is the truth.
Hallelujah.
It's that simple. Really.
It is exactly that simple.
That makes me excited because he
has. Why don't you tell us how you feel? Really feel, Greg?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Amen. You know, there was something else too. You know, we talked about those kids, and I'll tell you what, these kids had such a compassion for each other. They really cared each other. They loved each other. They asked their friends to come. How do you think we got from 2 people to 40 people? You know, I'm going to point the finger at myself and say, when was the last time I asked somebody to come to church? I saw somebody I knew somewhere or somebody at work or somebody somewhere else and say, hey, why don't you come to church Sunday? Been a little while, I have to admit, since I've done that. What if we all just brought one person? Just one person. We would overflow this place. With its seats about 80 people. I think Dennis said just a little under 40. We'd fill this place up. Just brought one person. Compassion was the one thing we prayed for the other night. Compassion for one another. Compassion. Greg was talking about how he was in Walmart and was praying for somebody and just a total stranger. And that woman was just so thankful that he prayed for her. The compassion. And I shared this the other night in prayer, but this pastor I had, one of the pastors I had in Florida, and while the man wasn't perfect, one of the things he had was compassion. I remember a time we were, hey, let's go out to eat after church. Sure, that sounds like a good idea. And, you know, we're not thinking anything spiritual is going to happen. We're at a restaurant. For goodness sake, nothing spiritual can happen at a restaurant. And this waitress come up, and he immediately knew there was something wrong with her. And he said, is there something I can pray for you about? She immediately broke down in tears. And she said, yeah, my husband just left me. And I'm a single mom, and I don't know what to do. Compassion. Why can't we have compassion like that for people? Be open to what the Spirit is saying. Be open to what God is telling us. We might walk into some place, and there might be somebody over there sitting somewhere that we need to minister to, and we just walk right by him. How many times, I wonder, does that happen? Because we're not in tune with what the Spirit is telling us. We had, and I may have told this story before. If I have, I apologize. But I remember when Janice and I first moved to Bloomington. This was, golly, 25, 30 years ago. And I'm trying to think when that was. Ryan's 30. The twins were just born. So it's 25 years ago. So 25 years ago, we moved to Bloomington. And of course, we were dead broke at the time. I've shared that with you before. And Janice used to work out there, actually pretty close to where Dennis works now. And she was driving home from work one day, and she saw this man under a bridge. And this man was obviously a homeless guy. He was living under the bridge. It was kind of cold outside. And the Lord spoke to her and says, "You're to go buy groceries for this man." And I'm telling you, we were broke. If I knew she'd done it in the flesh, I would have said, "Don't you dare go buy groceries for somebody else, because we can barely put food on our own table." But she listened and she obeyed. She went out and she paid about $50 worth of groceries for this guy. And one thing in particular that she just felt led to get was peanut butter. She said, "Get some peanut butter." She said, "I'm not sure why I'm supposed to get peanut butter, but okay, Lord, I'll get some peanut butter." And she turned around and she drove back to that man who was still there under the bridge, and she handed him the sack of groceries. And he pulls out that jar of peanut butter and he says, "I haven't had peanut butter for 10 years. I just was praying that God would bring me some peanut butter." Compassion. Compassion. We want to see the Holy Spirit move. Man, that's one of the places. And it's compassion for people. I just pray that we have compassion for people. I can tell you another time, again, I would have probably not allowed Janice to do it in the flesh if I didn't know better. But she hears the Holy Spirit. And sometimes as spouses, maybe we need to let our spouses hear the Holy Spirit and what they're saying. Because he might speak to them and not to us. Or we might be walking in the flesh and not listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. But I remember one time, She was driving down the road again, and she passed this lady who was walking up the road. And the Lord spoke to her. Now, this was on the interstate, so she had to go to the next exit and turn around and come back. And I think cell phones had just come out at this time. I know I'm dating myself, but, you know, there was a time when there weren't cell phones. But if I remember right, we had one of those old bag phones. Remember those bag phones you used to have that cost you $10 every time you picked it up? But if I remember right, we had one of those. So she didn't call me. I was expecting her home, and she didn't come home. And we're in Bloomington. She was in Bloomington, and she stops, and she pulls over and picks this woman up and says, "Can I help you with something?" And the woman says, "Yeah, I need to get to Pontiac. I'm walking there." Now, if you don't know how far Pontiac is from Bloomington, it would be about a two-day walk, I would expect, if you were walking it. It's what, 40 miles, 50 miles? Yeah. It's a ways. Not someplace you want to walk. And she gets in the car, and Janice starts talking to her. Now, I'm starting to get a little worried because Janice isn't home yet. And I didn't want to call that bag phone because I didn't want to spend the $200 for the phone call. But I was getting a little worried about her. But she drives that woman all the way to Pontiac, to her apartment. And then the woman says, "Can you drive me back to Bloomington? My boyfriend just beat me up. He took all of my money. He took everything I have. And I don't know where I'm going to go." So Janice took her back to Bloomington, brought her to, I don't remember the name of the place, it's one of the shelters there in Bloomington, the spousal abuse shelters. But you know, what had happened if Janice hadn't stopped and done that? Would that woman have kept walking? Would something bad have happened to her? Maybe there's bad people on the interstate. You wonder sometimes, if you're not in tune with what the Spirit's saying, what's going to happen? God wants us to have compassion for people. I think Lonnie shared something with me a while back where he was at a restaurant and he overheard somebody talking about him, and he said, "Can I lay hands on you for healing?" And he did, and they thanked him for it. I don't know very many stories where people pray for people out in public and people say, "Don't ever touch me again." People are appreciative of that. And man, there are so many hurting people out there. There are so many people that need Jesus. And what are we? We're supposed to be the salt and the light of the world. If we, God uses us. He picks us to be used. We are the ones that He uses. You know, we were talking about the other day, and I think I shared this once before, when we first moved to High Springs, Florida. And High Springs, Florida is this little bitty town. You would think you were in South Georgia. Everybody had the nice southern drawl, and they were all nice to each other, and everybody was really friendly. They took one-syllable words and made two syllables out of them. Great, great people. I'm telling you what, I don't know that I ever lived in a town with such great people. I remember one time, and Janice always took my shirts and stuff to the cleaners because I was too lazy to iron them. But nonetheless, she always brought my shirts to the cleaners, and I never ever talked to anybody in town because I worked in Gainesville. And I remember coming in one time to the cleaners. Janice had come up to Illinois to visit the kids, and I stayed back, and the lady at the cleaner says, and I told her my name, and oh, you're Barry. Hi, Barry. How are you doing? Oh, how's your wife? She managed to get up to Illinois okay? Is everything good with the kids? And I don't have any idea who this lady is. She's carrying on a conversation with me because everybody in the town knows everybody. And she says, oh, by the way, one of your shirts is missing a button. She goes up the road and talks to Susie, and she'll sew it on for you. So I go up the road to Susie. So she says, oh, Mr. Cammage, it's so nice to meet you. I see your wife all the time. Oh, it's just such a pleasure to have you guys around here. Wow. Can imagine if we had that kind of hospitality that they had down there, and we're just friendly to people all the time, everywhere we went, what that would be like. We had the opportunity one time. Janice and I were in the grocery store. It was a Piggly Wiggly or something like that. I don't remember. Yeah, they have funny names for grocery stores down there. But we go into this grocery store, and we're in line. And you know how sometimes you get in the wrong line at stores? We seem to always get in the wrong lines. We'll look at that line and say, that line's lower. Let's get in that line. And sure enough, this other line, five people go through it when we get in that line. Because something's holding it up. And sometimes we just get frustrated because something's holding it. We're in a hurry. We got to go into the store. We got to get something. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. This one time, Janice and I were there, and this couple, young couple in front of us at the store, and neat couple, but he kept trying to slide his credit card through, and it wouldn't go through. And I don't know what the problem was. It could have been the bank. It could have been he didn't have money. It could have, I don't know what the reason his credit card wasn't going through. But it's kind of funny because Janice and I just looked at each other and we knew exactly what we were supposed to do. We were supposed to buy their groceries. And the woman that was there, young, very young lady, she was probably early 20s, maybe not even 20 yet. She was very, very young. She was pregnant. Looked like she was about ready to have the baby. And the husband, you know, young kid, just a nice looking kid. And so Janice walked up to the teller because they were about ready to push him out of the way so we could go through. And Janice walks up to the cashier and says, put that on our card. And the lady didn't tell him it was us. She just said, you guys take your groceries and go. And they turned around and looked at us and they knew that we were the ones that paid for their groceries. And that woman, I think she hugged Janice for 10 minutes. She said, you have no idea what this means to us. We're barely able to get by. We're barely able to buy groceries. And this is a week's worth. It was, I don't know, $300 or $400 worth of groceries. This is such a blessing to us. Thank you so much. We didn't do it for us. We didn't do it for our recognition. It's compassion. Compassion that God wants us to have for people. Later that week, we didn't tell anybody we did this. We just, again, we don't do this for ourselves. We don't really care. I don't care if anybody knows, ever. The only reason I'm using this example is compassion for one another. And we get to church that Sunday, and the pastor says, it was you guys, wasn't it? What are you talking about? You guys are the ones that did that. Did what? What are you talking about? He said, did you read the paper? I said, no, I didn't read the paper. What are you talking about? Apparently, the pastor of the church were these two they were believers too, which was even more awesome. They went and told their pastor. The pastor took out a front page ad in the newspaper. Little town, not like it was the New York Times. I think 10 people got that newspaper, but nonetheless, what it meant so much to these people that somebody would sacrifice for them. What did Jesus do for us? He made the ultimate sacrifice. We can just sacrifice a little bit. We talked last week about getting out of our comfort zones. Man, sometimes it's not in my comfort zone to go talk to a perfect stranger. I'll tell you that. I'm an introvert by nature most of the time. And going up to a perfect stranger is not real comfortable to me. But I'll tell you what, the boldness that this brother has and that brother has to go to somebody that they don't even know, man, Lord, give me that. Give me the boldness and the compassion for people that are hurting, that need you. How many want that compassion? How many are willing to get into the river? Father, we just thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the revelation that you're giving this body, this church. Father, that the calling you're putting on this body to do body ministry, to go outside of these four walls and let that river take them out. Father, and to lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. Lord, to raise people from the dead who need raised from the dead. To move mountains where people think they can't be moved. Not just in this church, but outside of this church. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, just have your way in this place. Have your way with every person in this place. Pour out your spirit on this place. Let it rain, as Greg said, not just in these four walls, but Lord, let it rain in this region on every believer, on every unbeliever in this region. Let it rain. Let your spirit rain forth, healing rain, healing rain. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In the name of Jesus. Everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.